episode 73 of
Brutal Battle.
And yes, that is a new voice for everyone. We also have another individual with us. Just give us some words.
About myself? Or
not yet, just words. Okay, that's a second voice. I'm just teasing the listeners, just letting them know that there are people they have not met before at the table. And yes, we do record at a table. It is a folding table. It's a very high class around here, you know, folding tables and everything.
It's a suede.
Yeah, there's like beautiful suede. I mean, there's a emblem of Elvis in the middle. No, there's not. I kind of wish there was. That'd be cool. But anyway, the man's voice that you heard that's not mine is Nathan Kolasnik. The female voice that you heard is Erica Kolasnik. If you haven't figured out by me saying their last names, they are married. They are related to me. Erica is Rebecca's youngest sister, and Nathan is her husband. So they're in the fam. They're in this awesome beer-loving, craft-drinking family.
Yay!
Absolutely.
Yeah, so Nathan and Erica, I decided to have them on because they've never been on before. They've been listeners for some time now. I know I spoke...
Since the beginning of time.
Since the very beginning, yes. Awesome. I know I spoke on one of the episodes about how they were on their honeymoon listening to some Brutal Battle, because Nathan, you had sent in an email about that. So we appreciate that kind of support. So people, feel free to do the same. You know, listen to these episodes on your honeymoon, at funerals, whatever. You know, whatever you want. I'm just saying, this podcast is for every occasion, happy and sad. You know, it's not a one-note podcast. So anyway, as we commonly do when we have new people on, we're going to hear about the beginnings of craft beer love for Nathan and for Erica, and just talk about, you know, how they got started in craft beer and, you know, what craft beers they're currently really enjoying. But before we do that, we have a little thing that we need to get out of the way, and that is called hop knowledge. Yep. Today's hop is Hercules, and that's Hercules spelled with a K, not a C. It is from Germany. The description on it is spicy and floral. Details for it: it was developed by the Hall Hop Research Institute and was released in 2005. And it was bred from Taurus hops, which obviously is not one we've covered yet because we're going alphabetical. This is typically just used for bittering, and substitutions for it are Magnum as well as Taurus, which obviously Taurus makes sense since it's derived from that. Two examples of beers using Hercules hops: Haymarket Hercules IPA, as well as Brewer's Cut Signature Hop Pale Ale. Have not heard of either of those, but hopefully someone listening has heard of those. I just try to get as many different breweries in there as possible, pretty much. So, let's go ahead and start out. Nathan, you, sir, are a craft beer lover.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
How did that start for you?
Well, you're going to find out this is going to be a big ego episode for you.
Oh, yes. I've been hoping for one of those.
Slow and then very fast. Actually, I first started out with, like everybody, beer pong and, you know, Miller Lite, Coors Lite, all that fun stuff. And then I started dating Erica. I was also in the military, so that's kind of semi-important as why it's slow and fast. Started dating Erica and then came up to visit on one of my long weekends, and we actually had a dinner date with you and Rebecca, and it was at Duclaw. And so that was probably my first actual exposure to craft beer. And I had Sawtooth and Euphoria. And I think at that time I liked Sawtooth more because I was into like Blue Moon and stuff like that at the time. So I really...
Sawtooth, just for the listeners, Sawtooth, since Duclaw is hyper-local.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Sawtooth is a Belgian wit, and Euphoria is their toffee nut brown. So, sorry, just wanted to interject that. Go ahead.
So, actually, I think that was a little bit before my birthday, and then it was for my birthday, Erica actually brought me down a growler of Sawtooth as a birthday present. So that was real exciting. And then because being in the military and I don't have a lot of time to go out and about, I didn't really get that much exposure to other craft beers. And so every time I'd come up to visit, we would basically go to Duclaw because I thought it was the greatest thing ever. And then after getting out of the military, having more exposure to you, I've been really to just blossom and try all sorts of new stuff because I didn't really feel comfortable trying new things on my own. So having more exposure with you, oh, try this, try this. I kind of got an idea of what I liked and went from there. So now pretty much anything that says porter or stout, I'll drink. And now that it's getting warmer out, I'm trying to get into pale ale. So that's kind of where I'm at.
So you're moving. It's like winter, heavy malt.
Yeah.
Summer and spring, let's go to a little bit of hoppage, but not like a ton.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do, I guess. I'm on the Carlin beer plan.
Well, and here's the thing. I like to hear that because, not because it feeds my ego necessarily, but it kind of does. But mainly because I like to strive to make people aware of craft beer. You know, I see a lot of people in my daily life who are, you know, walking out of liquor stores with, I just saw it yesterday, actually, walking out of liquor stores with a 30-pack of Coors Light. And I just look at that and I'm like, thinking to myself, does that person know what craft beer is like? Like, have they ever tasted it before? And a lot of the times, no. People just haven't ever tried it.
And that's kind of like what I had no idea. Like, there's a couple, like, there was a place called the Mash House. It's a steakhouse, and they make their own beer. And, you know, I went in, and they're like, oh, what do you like? It was like, oh, I like Bud Light and stuff like that. Oh, here's this blonde. You'll love it. And, I mean, it was good.
Yeah.
But I had no idea. You know, there's all these stouts, porters, different flavors of all sorts of stuff.
And the thing, too, is if you still like things like, you know, Miller Lite, Bud Light, Coors Light, stuff like that, there are still craft beers out there that are similar, but are better round, you know, more well-rounded and, you know, crisper and just better crafted in general. So there are things out there for everyone, really. There really are things for everyone in the craft beer community. And that's one of the things I really try to hammer home when I'm talking to people. You know, I've also had people I talk to who are like, I just don't like beer in general. I'm like, it's because you've had the wrong beer. And that gave you a bad impression of what beer is. You just need to find the right beer. You know, just find out what someone's tastes are like and point them in the right direction. So I'm glad I could be at least a bit of an influence.
And I'm glad too.
Yeah. It's enriched your life.
It really has. Really, really has.
So, currently, what are a few of your favorite beers?
Well, just had the Nihilist Stout by Sly Fox. That's really good. Firestone Walker, which you got me for Christmas.
The Reserve Porter.
The Reserve Porter. That was phenomenal. Euphoria is probably my actual absolute favorite, just because I like it. It's really solid, and I can actually get as much of it as I wanted because of its proximity to where I am. So other than that, I haven't run into too many other ones that like I can get mass quantities of. So it's kind of, I try not to build like a strong bond for them because I know I can't get them very often.
Yeah, and there are certain beers where you're just kind of like, I'm going to really enjoy this and I'm going to super enjoy it right now and just lose myself in the moment because I know that after this, I'll never see it or smell it or taste it again.
KBS, I may never get that.
I know. That's it hurts. It hurts. When you bring up KBS, it really hurts. And actually, that was just the last show we had. You know, we did the KBS and Bourbon County Stout, Bourbon County Brand Stout, side by side. And oh my God, that KBS was great. And I'm going to be honest, it kind of killed me on that episode because I only had one 12-ounce bottle and I had to split it four ways. So I was just like, ah. But hopefully one day I shall have more. Erica, you are into craft beer as well. How did this happen?
Well, I actually thought I would never like beer, ever. When you and Rebecca started dating, you started her on the beer plan. I guess it took a little while to even get Rebecca on a beer plan.
It did. We did wine first, actually, because she didn't like anything but margaritas.
Yeah. So I had heard that my sister was starting to drink beer, and our other sister, Emily, has always been a beer fan. It didn't take her long to get into beers. And then I had two sisters who were drinking beers, and I was like, I don't think I'm ever going to like beer. And then I started trying things probably, I think I was just thinking about it. It was like a year and a half ago. I don't even remember like the first thing that I had tried. But I mean, prior to that, it was kind of just the typical college stuff, like awful Keystone Light, Natty Ice. Like, essentially, I was like,
vomit-inducing stuff.
Right. If this is beer, beer is not for me. And then I kept hearing there's more out there. Maybe you just haven't tried something that fits with you. And so I was willing to give it a try and, you know, started taste testing around. And I realized that there really is more than just that typical college kid beer.
Yeah, because that's about being economical at that point.
Right, right, right. If you can get like a 24-pack for, you know, $10.
Because in college, it's just about getting hammered.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what's the fastest way to get there? You know, and when people start with beer, they're just, nobody likes it. You know, so
no, no. Like, and then everyone kept saying, oh, it's an acquired taste. It's an acquired taste. And I said, I don't want to drink horrible things when it's horrible just to try to acquire a taste. You know, I had already, you know, liked wine. I had already liked, you know, hard liquor. And I was like, if this is acquired, I don't want to suffer to try to like it.
Yeah, and that's what it seems like, is that you're trying to force yourself in those cases.
And, like, choking on it.
Yeah, and you don't want to do that. You don't ever want to really force yourself. And I feel like if you follow a natural progression when you're trying craft beers and you go from, like, the lighter stuff and then just, you know, take a few forays every now and then into kind of the next step of it, you know, like, go from a brown to, like, you know, maybe a porter, try a porter here or there, or try, like, a pale ale here or there or something, and then... You know, you'll find one eventually that will kind of be the bridge to get you to that next style. I think that's, like, an easier way to do it. But with a lot of those macros, you know, there's no way to bridge anything. It's just they're all kind of the same type finish, like, as Kyle would say, an assy finish to it. And it's just not pleasing. Yeah. It's not pleasing. Yeah. So.
Or just, like, going to craft breweries and... the nice little samples that you get. Like, I noticed that was definitely nicer for me to transition rather than, well, here's a can, you have to drink it. Like, you can taste test things and then, okay, I like this, I want more of it, or, you know, I don't want more of it.
So do you remember the exact time that you were like, this is a craft beer and this is good? Was there one beer that sticks
ahead,
out in your mind?
Go ahead and feed his ego.
Are we doing this again? Let's do that.
I don't know. Do you remember? I mean, I was probably with you or probably with Carlin.
It was at Trogues.
I'm an enabler.
Splinter Gold.
Well, I think that was the first moment that I was like, oh my gosh, I can really love beer, is actually when I had one of the Splinter series from Trogues. Actually, there's Splinter Gold.
Which is like a sour Belgian blonde, I believe.
Yes, yes. And that was the very first one that I had. I think it was like, actually, my entire family was there. It was really, really funny because it was you and Rebecca and then our mom and my other sister had flown in and we were just kind of hanging out. It was like after Christmas time. And Emily had mentioned that sour beers are really big on the West Coast, and I had never heard of them, you know, in Pennsylvania or in the Maryland area. And I decided to try it. She's like, you know what, you like sour things, give it a try. So we went ahead and, you know, they only come in like that 22-ounce bottle. So we got that. I tried it. And I think I ended up finishing the bottle because I was like, I like this. I really like this beer.
Yeah. And I think that was one of my first times trying a sour beer. Because obviously, you know, I've talked about it a few times on the podcast before. The East Coast is very much behind the beer, craft beer trends. You know, the West Coast kind of sets the new trend, and then it kind of takes a while for it to make it to the East Coast. You know, we still aren't really big on sours here on the East Coast, but it's starting to grow a bit. We're getting there. So.
And then I think, I mean, you always tried the stuff that I was drinking, but when Carlin told you about Duclos Funk, the blueberry citrus wheat, I think that really brought you more into trying different stuff.
Yeah,
as well.
That was last summer. That was my big go-to was the blueberry citrus. Yeah, that was my jam, and probably last summer is when my love for craft beers kind of took off, and then it's really kind of flourished for that. So really the past year.
I feel like our family's much tighter now.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! I mean, we've got the Beer Express coming in from Oregon. You know, my sister packages beers and brings them in for holidays.
Yeah,
any beers we can't get out here, she can bring them in. And
there's a lot of beer exchange that actually goes on, and there are a lot of meetups at places like, you know, Golden Crust Pizza, which we talked about, and Red Line that has like, what, 44 taps at the moment. Amazing stuff on tap at that. So, and actually, you guys had been very, very good to have around. Well, even though you weren't physically there, but your place, because I borrowed some growlers recently. We were going to have a bottle share with Sean Creel and some of the other Brewkeep guys. I guess Chris Swain was there, and Matt Van Zandt was there, and some of their friends that I had not met before. And we were just, everyone, you know, bring some bottles of some interesting stuff. Rebecca and I were going up to Golden Crust Pizza that morning, and so I was like, oh, I'll pick up some stuff in my growlers. And wouldn't you know, we're like halfway there, and I'm like, I forgot the growlers. So I was like, wait a second. Erica and Nathan live close to Gold Crust Pizza, and we were going to check in on their cat anyway because they were out on vacation in California, and they went to Russian River, but we'll talk about that on the next episode. And I was like, give him a call, or I think... Did she call you or did she text you?
I think she texted you. Yeah, I think she texted me. She's like, oh, yeah, so we decided to check on your cat, and we're going to steal your growlers.
Yeah. So we took one of the normal size, the 64-ounce growlers, and we took two 32-ounce. And I will say thank you very much because the beers we took were a huge hit.
Oh, great.
We took the Voodoo Brewing's Big Black Voodoo Daddy, which is their Imperial Stout, really good. I knew we had it on the show before for Kyle Norman's Beer Knife Fight against Kyle Harris. We had, in the large one, we took Deschutes Fresh Squeezed IPA, which is a really nice citrusy IPA. And then we took a 32-ounce of the Habanero Sculpin by Ballast Point, which was really interesting. Rebecca was all about it, because it had a significant heat from the habanero, but it wasn't, like, crazy amount.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was a little too much. It was still, like, kind of stinging my lips after I had a taste. But I could recognize that it was well done, and it tasted good at first. It was just, like, that lingering burn that was a little much for me. But we took that, and that was a big hit. People really liked it, including one girl there who said that it's the best beer she's ever had in her life, period.
Wow.
So I was like, well then, towards the end of the night, I was like, you may finish it because it's the best beer ever and you'll never have it again because it's a very limited run thing. But then we came up with a really interesting thing that we did towards the end of the night. Matt Van Zandt was like, hey, I wonder what would happen if we did a 50-50 blend of the Fresh Squeezed IPA and the Habanero Sculpin.
Oh, wow.
And we did it and it was awesome. So, people out there, if you can get a hold of Habanero Sculpin and you can get a hold of Deschutes Fresh Squeezed IPA, 50-50 blend of that, really nice. It kind of brings the heat from the habanero down a little bit, and it increases the citrus a little bit more. Really good. Really good. So, highly, highly recommend that for everyone. So, thank you very much for your growlers.
Yeah.
And actually, we didn't even know that the large one was missing until... this morning, I guess, when we were getting ready to come over, Rebecca was like, make sure you get, you know, the two small ones and the large one. We're like, large one? Didn't even know it was missing.
So I guess we didn't even need to ask. We could have just walked in there and taken all your growlers. Yeah.
Well, that and I guess our reusable Golden Crust bag that, you know, for our Golden Crust beers.
I was actually looking for that. I went to Golden Crust yesterday for lunch, and I was looking for my bag because I knew I was going to pick up some beers. And I was like, where's the bag? I was like, did I lose it? Did I leave it somewhere? And then I found out you guys had it.
Nah, we stole it. Sorry about that. That's just kind of how it is. But anyway, awesome. So thank you for, you know, telling everyone about you guys and craft beer. You guys are going to be here for some more episodes. That's typically how we do it. We plan a session and we get, you know, I don't know, anywhere between 2 and 5 episodes done with people. I think 5 is the max that we've gotten done. And actually, I think 1 is the minimum. We did 1 shots every now and then. But anyway, so thank you very much, and let's go ahead and get to the mystery beers. And you guys, I'd like to see you weighing in with your opinions.
It's going
to
be great. My descriptor terms are very limited. You get beer, hops,
malt, maybe some wheat,
chocolate, some rye. Chocolate, coffee, no.
Erica, I know you had said before the podcast, you're like, I don't know how I'm going to do with, like, picking out flavors and aromas. But I'm going to be honest, you might... Surprise yourself.
I don't know. I listen to you and you're like, oh, there's cayenne pepper in here. I,
well, that's practice.
If I read on the bottle what's in there, like if you say, you know, do you get A, B, or C, I can probably pick it out. But knowing me, knowing what they are, not so much.
And the thing is, this is why doing you know, blind smelling and tasting is so good, because too many times you just rely on what the bottle mm-hmm. says. And in my opinion, I would much rather see if I can pick it out on my own without being given some sort of cue to try and look for it, because that's going to tell me if it's really present. And then I can read it after the fact and say, okay, it's supposed to have this. Did I pick up on that? Sometimes you can confuse smells, and that's fine. And then once you read about what's in there, you're like, oh, okay, I can see where that was. But sometimes you don't smell something it's supposed to be in there, and then you read about it and you're like, no, absolutely not. When if you had read about it first, you might be trying so hard to pull that out of there. And you might be missing things that are unintentionally in there. So blind tasting is the way to go, in my opinion. Everyone should do it. Anyway, so beers A and B are in front of us. Beer A, I would say, and I probably should turn some light on in here. I'll do that for the next episode. No, right now
dark.
We're in the
a little dark.
Dark. We're in the dark now, so whatever. A looks like it could be, it's very yellow.
Yeah.
A little bit hazy, but it looks like it could be, you know, like, could be an IPA. It could be some form of wheat that's pretty well filtered, but it's very, very yellow. Let's go ahead and the cup and swirl method usually works pretty well for picking out some aromas. I smell citrus right off the bat. It's like lemon rind to me. So I'm thinking some sort of like Belgian style. Get a little bit of sugary sweetness on it as well.
Before swirling it, I picked up kind of yeasty.
Okay, yeah. I can see
I
that.
Guess if you said, if you think it's maybe Belgian, that would probably line up with that.
Yeah.
Smells like beer.
Yeah, that's, it's beer. It's beer.
It does smell exactly like beer. I get a little, yeah, mainly what I'm getting, I just mainly get, like I said, like lemon rind, and then I get a little bit of like a sugariness on the finish in the nose. But that's pretty much all I'm picking out of it. It's pretty typical of a Belgian style. I mean, I don't think this is going to be like a pale ale or an IPA or anything like that. So
I would say that would be one of my general descriptors. Smells like a Belgian.
That's
what I would call it. That's about as far as my description goes.
Okay. Well, then let's go ahead and give it a taste. Very Belgian-y, but
yep.
It's very drying on the mouth.
Yeah, dry.
I get, like, the lemon rind flavoring. It tastes like that. It tastes like wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, it's so dry.
It's kind of like a dry hop.
Yeah, it's just, like, bittering. Man, it's like, saps all of the moisture
mm-hmm.
right off the top of your tongue.
Yeah.
At the end of that sip. And, I don't know. It's kind of crisp, though, at the same time. It's decent. I don't know if I'm huge on it, though. Mm. And, like, carbonation-wise, in my mouth it tastes like, or it feels like champagne carbonation. So it's, like, highly effervescent. Mm. So what are you guys picking up? Anything in particular?
Just Belgian-y, like, the standard kind of the way Belgians are done.
Mm-hmm.
not really a big fan of that dryness. I like more of like a refreshing taste as opposed to that like tongue slapping whatever whatever that thing that you do after you drink like a tart wine or a very dry wine.
Yeah, and I'm not picking up a whole lot of like banana in there. I might get kind of like an undertone of banana to it, but I know what you're talking about with the drying out, and I feel like when that happens, it doesn't allow the other flavors to kind of sit there on your tongue. So, in my opinion, it makes it taste maybe a little more astringent on the finish because of that. Because it's kind of like it dries up and it's like only alcohol that's left on my taste buds, pretty much. Mm. So, not bad, but not huge on it either, honestly. What do you think, Erica? How are your thoughts?
There's nothing really special to it. It definitely tastes different than I thought it would based on the smell. Because kind of that smell, I feel like I don't really get much of that in the flavor. You kind of get like the little flavor and then it's kind of gone.
Yeah, it's kind of quick to dissipate because of the... It's like bitter and dry.
Yeah,
it's pretty fast.
I mean, it's not bad. I mean, I don't know if I would necessarily say, yeah, let's try this again.
But
yeah, I mean, it's not bad. I'll just say that.
Cool. I think that's pretty much all we can say about that one. Let's move on to B. B is orange. I mean, it looks very orange to me.
Mm-hmm.
The head
almost
on
like
it,
a tea.
The head on it's a little orangey as well. And there is more a slight bit more head on B than there was on A, but they both have some head to them. Let's go ahead and smell B. Oh no. I got a smell I don't typically like.
No, I didn't.
It's malty, piney, hay, alfalfa, but there are some hops to it as well. So it's not, like, I've talked about this, typically when I get, like, these hay notes, and there's a little bit of, like, honey characteristic to the hay as well, and that signals beers I'm typically not going to like. But this has a little bit more hops than I typically get from those other beers that smell that way.
Smells a little burnt, like the roast.
I could see that. A little burnt on the end, giving it some slight caramel notes to it. Yeah, definitely. Man, when you swirl it just a little bit, that head gets gigantic.
It does.
Yeah, actually, I'm starting to get more of like a roastiness as I keep swirling it. Cup and swirl technique. Thank you, Tucker. We use it all the time now. It's the only way to go. Okay, I feel like I can't say anything else about it. What about you guys?
Yeah, it doesn't have many notes on it. Just those few.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm still kinda stuck on the hay smell.
Kind of burnt hay.
It's like someone's just like burning a barn down. Do you get any smell of like burnt horses? I don't know.
I hope not. I hope not.
Yeah, smells like California Chrome.
Yeah. Especially since he didn't win the Triple Crown.
Yeah. You want to know what happened to him? This beer.
Oh, jeez. All right, let's go ahead and taste it then. That is pretty much exactly what I was expecting in the flavor. Ooh. Basically exactly what I, There's a lot of bitter on the finish.
Yeah.
It's kind of flat. It's a flat beer.
Yeah. Yep.
There's
not much.
It tastes a little watery to me at the end. Like right at the very end as that last little bit goes down your throat, you get a little watery.
It is watery on the mouthfeel. It's, I don't even get much of any sort of hop characteristic. I get a lot of malt to it. And there is a bit of like a burnt flavor on the aftertaste.
Yep.
Sometimes I'm cool with that, but given the other flavor characteristics of this beer,
nothing else to add to it.
Yeah, it's not playing well. I do get a hay. It's like a very small amount of hops, malt, some hay, and then burnt on the finish. It's not a very vibrant beer. It's easy to drink, kind of, if you don't mind the
like the
that
bitter
aftertaste.
The hard bitterness, the very harsh bitter finish to it.
Yeah, I feel like for me, because I'm not a huge like bitter person, I'm not having such a easy time to drink it. It just kind of makes me.
It's just not. I don't know. For me, it's not hitting the notes that. Any notes that I typically like in beer, it's hitting a few that I really don't like. You know, it's got that burntness. It's tasting kind of astringent the more I have of it, which I really am just not down with. And the hay always gets me.
I just noticed you gave us matching glasses. I got two consecrations, and Erica has two mad bishops.
And it's, I have two nothing. There's nothing on mine.
It's very classy. Swirls.
Well, I want to make sure I can differentiate between episodes whose glasses are whose, you know? So anyway, yeah, those are the beers. You know, not the best tasting-wise. But we got more episodes coming, so hopefully got some really
hopefully these are the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully it gets so much better from here on out.
I feel like after tasting B, it makes it an easy decision for me.
Oh, does it? Okay, well,
it's just a question of numbers now, though. I might have to go back.
I went back to A, and I really got the lemon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yeah. After having B and how, like, how hay and bitter and all that.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't pick up that much lemon the first time, but going back, you like it's like a straight squeeze of lemon right in your mouth.
That's kind of enhancing A for me. It's actually making it taste a little bit better, even.
It's funny.
It's like
the side by side.
Yeah, I tried A and I was like, it's okay. And then I was like, eh. And then B and I'm like, I don't really like this. And then you go back to A in comparison and you're like, oh, this is even better now. So a crappy beer can make an okay beer taste better than okay. If that even makes sense. Okay, so for beer A, did anyone want to take the lead on your number out of 10 that you'd like to put on that?
Well, here's my question.
Oh, he's got a question.
If I want to rate them the same, can I give it like a label saying they're the? I give them the same, but I like the one better, or am I supposed to like rate the one higher than the other?
I think you can do a point. Can you do a 0.5?
No, there's no 0.5s in this game.
You can do whatever you feel is appropriate in your opinion at the time. That's fine because this is all. I mean, this is all people's taste. Personally, if I'm enjoying one more than the other, I want to give it at least a point higher than the other one, but you know, that's just me. Don't feel pressured to do anything in particular. Mm. So given that, okay, I'll go ahead and take the lead on A. I'm going to give A a 3. I think it's okay. I think it's an okay beer. I don't think I can give it much more than a 3. That said, does anyone else have an idea?
I'm going to give it a 2.
All right, Nathan's going a 2. And Erica. Mm.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I think I would agree with your 3. It's not bad. I mean, it's not in comparison to B.
Yeah. So that's an overall of 2.67 for A. Yeah, not a great showing, but not, you know, the worst. Okay, and B. Where do I go on this? Is there anything I like about? It's not like the worst beer I've ever had, but I don't know. I'm feeling kind of ornery today, and it's just really, the finish is killing it for me. The bitterness and how astringent it's making it taste, and that burnt aftertaste. I'm giving it a 1. I really am not.
Yeah, I am really kind of struggling to drink B, so I feel like by default I'm giving it a 1, because I'm just having a hard time with the finish.
That's fair.
And I'm just going to give it a 2, but A is definitely a better 2 than B. I feel like the 1 is reserved for something that, like, I spit out after I drink, like, take a sip of it. I spit it back into the cup.
Yeah, I hear you.
So I feel like I'm going to, there might be one of those. And I don't think, if there's something worse, then I'll be happy I gave it a 2. But if there isn't anything worse, I might be upset. But we live in the now, so we got to go with a 2.
All right. I like that. And I have a feeling that there's rye in beer B. That's where I'm getting some of those.
That could be true.
Weird notes. But let's go ahead and reveal things. I will reveal beer from the bags. But I will reveal what the beers were that we just rated.
So is B like a 1.7?
1.33 for B. And that's the one I'll reveal first. Oh, that's not that bag. All right. Beer B with an overall 1.33. The loser of this episode is... Oh! Evil Genius Beer Company's Evil IPA. Oh. It's an American IPA. That is a terrible IPA.
I like Evil Genius. I like their brand. I think it's really. I think it's a cool name.
The name.
Oh, it's a great name. It's just, this beer sucks.
That's actually really funny because it's Evil I, as in like eyeball.
Yeah.
IPA. That's funny.
I mean, they have a great name. They have great
beer names.
Yeah, they have great beer
they
names.
They have
this beer sucks.
They have I Love Lamp that just came out with. It's a Hef.
That's good.
It's a
nice reference to Anchorman.
Yeah. I don't remember if it's like a special flavor if it's just a general Hef. I don't but it's like a Hefeweizen style beer.
Cool. I mean I would try it. This is one beer I've had. I've had two beers from them.
Purple Monkey Dishwasher.
Yeah, Purple Monkey Dishwasher, which is a peanut butter porter, chocolate peanut butter porter, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty good. Yeah. So this is the first bad offering from them I've had, but that makes it 50% for me now. So
and
I don't know where to go.
I did have their oatmeal stout.
Is it good?
It was pretty good. Like I've had a lot. You actually get oatmeal. I've had a lot of oatmeal, air quotes, oatmeal stouts that you don't get like any oatmeal or anything like that. So it was good that it actually you could pick it up on that. But it was pretty good.
Cool. Well, I'll go ahead and reveal beer A, the winner of this episode, with a 2.67. Wah wah. I mean, not the best, but whatever. It is what it is. That beer is... Oh, no! Stateside Saison by Stillwater Artisanal Ales. It's an American farmhouse ale, 6.8% alcohol. And I didn't give an ABV on the Evil Genius beer because it was not on the bottle. This makes sense to me. I'm not a big fan of this beer, typically. I've said on the show I like a lot of Stillwater stuff, but this is actually my least favorite of their products. I actually didn't really care for this when I had it. So, there you go. I thought it was okay, though. So that's good. That's an improvement. I just think that it's their state... I think this is, like, kind of their flagship beer, though.
Okay.
And this is... I believe it's their most popular. But in my opinion, this is the worst beer that they make that I've had. So if it's okay and it's the worst that they make, that's pretty damn good.
Well, I mean, most flagships are kind of middle of the road. Like, they're kind of bland, kind of generic, but everybody likes them. As opposed to going, like, this is really good or it's just horrible.
Yeah.
So I guess it makes sense that it's just kind of eh.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on. You guys will be around for, you know, maybe a few more, at least one more. We've got to talk about you going to Russian River.
Mm-hmm.
So, everybody, the little teaser for the next one. You know, stick around.
At least until Rebecca gets home so we can brag about all the fun stuff we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rebecca's actually not around today. It's just the three of us drinking beers and having a good time. So, Rebecca's going to get home at some point. We will have had... plenty of beer, and we'll be happy and have had some good stuff, and she'll be like, oh, but we have plenty of good stuff in the freezers, or the freezer, no, the fridge. Oh my God, if I kept my beer in the freezer, it would be the worst. That's a bad idea. Yeah, we have plenty in the fridge, so she can just pull something out, something tasty. So anyway, thank you everyone for listening. Once again, just want to plug things. Check out the website, brutalbattle.com. Send us email, whatever you want to say, brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com. I'm on Untappd. I'm Carlin at, I was doing my Twitter. I'm on Untappd. I'm just under Carlin Cook. You can check me out there. I'm on Twitter, and that's Carlin at brutalbattle. You can check us out there, see what I'm tweeting about. We're also on Stitcher, if anyone uses Stitcher. So you can just search Brutal Battle on Stitcher and on iTunes. So thank you, everyone. Hope you listen to the next one, and keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.